Blog Talk Radio.
We've already started laughing. This hello is Pop Culture Stars, and it's a beautiful Thursday night in Myrtle Beach, cloudy and rainy, which is just perfect because it's no longer the sun fun capital of the world, but that's okay. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I couldn't be happier to be here with my real friends. Yeah, this is all I got. In other words, talking to our co-hosts. Oh my gosh, got three. I just got four text messages. Oh, okay. What is this? This is one of our co-hosts? Maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's a something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, this is John, and we're glad everyone's here. First of all, from Jacksonville, North Carolina. From the sun and fun capital of Onslow County, it is none other than Dave Atwell. How you doing tonight, David, old buddy?
How's everybody doing this evening? Good to be on. Looking forward to having our esteemed friend being on this evening. It's always a good time. Mr. Dowling joins us. Looking forward to tonight's show. Hope everybody's doing well.
We're doing pretty good. We miss you. That is for Liz. Liz has a Liz Brackett has we miss you. She has a hall pass because her nephew is over there at her house. She has to take care of her nephew, and her nephew is really cool, and he loves his Aunt Liz. So anyway, we're glad you're here, Dave, and we got a proposition for you. Now let me ask you this: you're kind of naked right now because there are two things you haven't talked about. What do you have with you and in front of you?
Truth be told, I am indoors tonight and feel a little green this evening for various reasons. But nevertheless, I figured it'd be best that I take in no spirits and try not to enjoy a wonderful cigar from Godfather's Cigars.
Godfather's Cigars. That's right. Okay, well, I was just checking to make sure you were still alive.
Yes, it's
all right.
Yeah, it's those types of things that make me bearable. So when I don't have those, I become unbearable. So that's the goal for tonight.
Or unbearable. Okay. Anthony, no Bigfoot, okay? And from Studio I, the Eye in the Sky in Indianapolis. You guys have one? It's Todd Saxon. How are you? And do you have a TV station, Eye in the Sky, in Indianapolis?
Oh, we got plenty of stinking helicopters to do all the reporting purposes, but I am doing outstanding, supernatural. I am ecstatic to be here. For those that don't realize it, we just got past our summer solstice. We are in the longest days of our summer, and they're quickly going to start getting shorter. Something I want to bring up, because it is
okay.
Coming quickly. It is coming quickly, and I never know what next week will bring. Just a reminder, I just kind of want to throw out, maybe plant the seeds for next week, because we will be facing another glorious birthday of this, not a frickin' democracy, but of this glorious republic.
Of this republic. And by the way, real quickly, could you please explain to everyone that doesn't know the difference between a democracy and a republic? Or would you just define republic?
Oh, man. Well, let's go with this. The Greek states were a democracy. I'll kind of give you an example. They used some of that, and that was part of their failure. So our founding fathers found a way to use democracy as a tool to incorporate it into this wonderful republic that we have. It's a representative republic.
So just representatives represent us and create the laws and how we enforce them and everything, correct?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a fan. I'm a huge fan. We're glad to have you here.
Let's plant the seed for next week, gents.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be it will be here. I'll tell you that. Now, one of our favorite guests of all time. We're just so glad he's here. I talk to him about every day to just make sure he's still alive and still being as much of a curmudgeon as Dave Atwell is. So here he is tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Raleigh, North Carolina, the executive director of Eno River Media Incorporated, magnificent prophet, the one and only Anthony Dowling. How are you, Anthony?
Well, Dave and I have to stick together because, you know, curmudgeons rule the world.
Oh,
rightfully
so.
I thought Lizard Man ruled the world.
Well,
no,
Godzilla
ruled the world.
And you didn't know that all of those are curmudgeons. In their own little society, they're considered curmudgeons.
Boy,
so
they
you're
are.
Gonna have to, you're going to have to get on the bandwagon here, guys.
Well, I have to try to, I have to try to be nice.
Thank you very, very much for inviting me. I always enjoy talking to you folks and the audience out there as a whole. We always have interesting conversations. Let me start off by saying that I want to extend my well wishes to the Queen of Glitter herself, Liz, and I hope she is doing well and will continue to do well.
I'm
here.
She'll find a way.
Yep.
Exactly. She'll find a way.
The only other thing I wanted to mention, you brought up democracy versus representation. And one of the reasons why democracy, pure democracy, where every single individual gets a vote, well, if you think about it, if there are more purple people, you know, let's say you have a 100-person population and you have 55 of them that are purple and they vote the same way, they're going to get everything they want all the time. And so the 45% get nothing. It's only what the 55% want to give them. That's why pure democracy doesn't work. But I think our nation, originally, it was pretty homogenous, thank you.
Mayonnaise.
There you go. But now we're pretty diverse. There's still generally one group of people that kind of rule the roost, and that slowly but surely, just through demographics, going to change. So
is that the pickles and the mayonnaise that make the tartar sauce?
You know it. And so the founding fathers said,
"Well, you know, I tell you what, the one thing that's not going to change is the friggin' money in politics. Until we really look at something about that, shit's not going to change."
I agree with you on that.
I'm gonna tell you how shit's gonna change. The most brilliant strategist I've ever seen is Donald Trump. He made the smartest thing when he told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to run against Chuck Schumer and take his senatorial seat, number one, and he cheered on as Elliot Engel, a Democrat who'd been around for 30 years, just lost the Democratic primary to some far left winger socialist who's a high school principal. And Trump was cheering him on. I think it was unbelievable. So there you go. I mean, what a brilliant dude. Just brilliant, brilliant, cool. Brilliant. That's why people don't like him. Because he's brilliant. Or as Trump said himself, better watch out because I'm smart and I'll win. He said that one time. Anyway, go ahead, Anthony. I had to say it.
I don't doubt Trump said that. I just finished watching, going back to Money and Power and Politics, I just finished watching a miniseries on Netflix called Turn. And there are 4 seasons, 10 episodes in each season. I absolutely loved it. Of course, I love period pieces. Eno River Media has done several period pieces. Have any of you guys seen it?
No, but,
no, but are you talking about a period piece? Is that something with a large circle? Is that a period piece?
Close. It's kind of like some period pieces are more like font case sizes. But this one is actually the period of the Revolutionary
War. Laugh louder, Dave.
Yeah, I tried. I'm not really good at these.
That was actually good. I never know what the heck is going to happen on the show. Just a reminder, everybody, in case you ain't figured it out, we're unscripted because the first tangent of the night became the show. So carry on.
Well, here's the deal. I know what's going to happen on the show right after it happened. Always know. Thank you, Anthony.
That
was funny. Dave didn't like laugh. Todd was just appalled. Okay. Go.
In that series, it becomes obvious that, you know, power, money, more money than anything, making a buck off the war, was one of the reasons why the British pulled it out so long. Because there were certain people, especially at the top, making a killing off of feeding and supplying needed supplies to the British Army from the colonies.
Being bullets and band-aids, baby.
And I'm like, wow, look at that. But overall, it was just well done. I was really, really impressed with it. And it got me jealous. I was like, now that's the type of thing I want to be able to do.
I liked it.
Would you guys like to hear a story?
Yes, Uncle Anthony. Dave, you want to hear a story? You're being too
damn
quiet. You need to go get a Pabst Blue Ribbon is all I got to say. I've got my vodka.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm fighting the urge not to get on a rant is all I'm doing, so let me just go ahead.
Well, then you ought to get one as soon as Anthony makes his point.
Let me go ahead and just quietly behave in the corner and play with my blocks, okay?
At least it's your blocks this time.
Yes, your blocks.
Oh.
Yes.
Little more than PG-13. The so I in the I'm sure a lot of industries are like this, that because when you boil it down, certain industries are not that big. They really are. They have a certain amount of players in them, and you hear things, and people in the industry talk. It's the exact same thing for the entertainment industry. There are certain folks that I do love to call and talk to, and you could probably call it gossiping. I do listen. I do like to hear all the things that are going on with all the people.
Stop
and
telling
I know
our secret,
well,
Anthony.
I know full well that they, you know, they're talking about me, but that's okay. Who was it that said, you know, I like publicity, whether it's good or bad, as long as it's publicity?
Well, David Lee Roth phrased it, the worse the press, the better.
There you go. Okay, there you go.
There's no publicity like there's no such thing as bad publicity, and it's the truth.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, so.
Tell Fatty Arbuckle. God. Poor dude.
One of my director friends, producer friends, actually, I'm sorry, recommended that I watch a short series that another gentleman that I know out of Hollywood directed. And I'm not necessarily thrilled with this gentleman out of Hollywood. I know him personally, and he did
Stanley?
A thing or two.
You're talking about Stanley Kubrick?
He's dead.
Is he?
He
lives
he did
forever
a thing or two.
In his films.
Yeah, he did a thing or two to a friend of mine. But But he's up and coming, and I watch what he does. I watch the movies he produces, and he produced this little miniseries. So I watched it, and it's really short. It's on Amazon. It's 6 episodes long, and each episode's about 15 minutes. I mean, it's quick. But within 5 minutes of the very first one, I was like, whoa, somebody has stepped up their freaking game. Look at this. And I watched all 6 before I read about it, because it didn't take very long. And then I read that they did a really brilliant thing. They got actors that had been actors on soap operas for years and years. And then they brought them all. Everybody who acted in this had been an actor in a soap opera. So what did they know how to do?
Act. Work with shitty scripts.
Laundry.
And bingo. And pull it off. And pull it off. Well,
yep.
They had a decent script. They nailed it. All the performances were just spot on. So as soon as I was done, I call my mutual friend, and I go, dude, and he said, yes, you were right. Tim, he really did a great job on this. He really, really did. I still don't like him, but I really like it. And he went, okay, which is a bit short for him. And I said, something's changed. Did he surround himself with different people, or why is this so much better? He went, okay. And I went, can you not talk? He said, no, I'm standing right here with him. Oh, okay, thank you very much. Goodbye.
That's pretty
nice.
Great.
Fortunately, he didn't have me on speakerphone.
or already throwing you into a call. Don't you love when that happens?
Yeah. The key is listen to the gossip, just don't repeat it, and be careful on who your audience is when you are talking.
Yeah, and be careful when your stuff gets on Facebook. I got to tell y'all something funny. And Anthony, this is directed to you because you're the king of film. I mean, we have the king of film. Today, for some reason, I was marooned on some Facebook page. I was trying to do something, and it just moved on to some next video. And the video was called Specific Hospital. Now, everybody knows what that's a takeoff of, right?
Right. General.
General right. Hospital. So some like 22-year-old dude comes walking in with a baseball bat, and his objectionable, horrible mother is laying in bed, fat, and some dude that's calling her who wants to come over and get with her. And she says, look, my boyfriend's real nice to me, and I like him, and I don't like you. And just it was just awful, awful, awful. And so the dude comes walking in with a baseball bat, and he said, I love it when you talk on the phone like that. It makes me want to kill you. And he kills her. It was a parody and everything, but it was so funny. He said, now that we're done with that, we can go on with the soap opera. Specific Hospital. I mean, can you believe that was about the funniest thing. I mean, I about had convulsions. I had to hang up. I was holding on the phone to somebody. I had to hang up. I couldn't stop laughing. Now we can get on with the soap opera. Okay. All right. I'll shut up. I just had to. See, Anthony, you haven't been on here in so long. I've got so many bad jokes to tell you.
I do love it. The is everybody. So let me ask you this. Because I don't know. I do not know what the answer is here. What's this trend I'm hearing? Several of my Hollywood friends have mentioned it in Facebook. They're firing off loud fireworks throughout the night. Is there a – what's that supposed to indicate or represent? And they're not doing it in just Hollywood. They're doing it all over, New York, Atlanta. Say it again.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything like that.
I got nothing. I mean, you know, right now we're in the usual, the local fireworks stores have been open for a month and change, and I don't know the, you know, so I'm starting to hear a little more going on. I mean, I got the, you know, I get those, you guys know those little poppets that look like little, almost like spitballs?
Yeah.
And, you know, you throw them down there for the little kids and all that. You know, I make sure I always have a brick or two of those, neighbor kids, stuff like that. God, somebody's got to corrupt them into pyrotechnics. Might as well
darn
be
right.
Me.
Darn
but
right.
The, now, I did stop by the fireworks store, and I think I got some new fishing tackle.
Okay.
Go ahead. Somebody's got to ask a question. And how did you get my fishing tackle at the fireworks store? I found some fireproof. Waterproof firecrackers.
Oh.
Waterproof firecrackers. I do believe I have some new fishing tackle.
Yep.
Not only that, they could use the old cherry bomb in the high school toilets. All I know is I work in a 28-story building.
That would cause some mischief. You would evacuate the building.
Well, it'll clear the plumbing because we got some people that are clogged. Boys and their toys, just saying.
You know it. I had a friend. His first name's Barry. I won't say what his last name is. He was a wild child in high school. And grew up to be kind of a little wild child. But for whatever inconceivable reason, I don't know, are M80s still like an eighth of a stick of dynamite?
Okay, yeah. I don't find anything by that name anymore that's dating us, unfortunately, but that would be accurate.
Yeah,
they got new things. I'm real fond of the bird bombs for the airports to clear the runways. They're closer to the H-100.
Okay. Well, he would go down. We couldn't buy them in North Carolina. They were legal in South Carolina. Have been so
right.
For years, decades. They're now kind of legal up here, not to the extent that South Carolina still has. Well, he'd go down regularly to South Carolina and get his stash. I'd go with him every now and then. And, he did. He went down, got some, and then all of a sudden, one day,
I'm down here because on 40 is south of the border, and all I could hear is going to south of the border to get my stash, man.
They cleared the high school, and I was like, why are they doing this? What's going on? This was back in the 80s, right? Early 80s. I'm like, what's going on? And I didn't know. I didn't hear anything about it. Two or three months later, a friend of mine, I knew Barry. He didn't say anything. But a friend of mine said, you know why they did the close the school, right, or evacuated it for a little bit? I said, no, have no clue. Barry went to the third floor and lit a M80 and then flushed it, and it blew up, and it blew water out of every single toilet in the building.
That's impressive.
And I was like, did they catch him? And I do not believe they did, which is inconceivable because he was – he would have been the first one I would have gone to if I was the principal or the vice principal back then, because he was.
But that would have been discriminatory. Mischief. You see, they were not discriminatory back in the day, right?
Oh yes, we were, and they were right to the point, and justice was meted out with a paddle. We were paddled back then, even in high school.
Indeed, we had a guy that was he had was a heck of an amateur tennis player, had hit some of the, not the top level pros, but some of the pro circuit nonetheless. And he was one of our teachers. And boy, if he backhanded you with the paddle, you knew it.
Ooh, ooh. Yeah, there you go. Our vice principal was, you know, vice. He certainly knew how to carry that word through. He was ruthless. And I was scared to death my freshman year, 2 months into my freshman year. I was in the gym standing with a group of people, and he came waltzing in, and they were getting ready for some event that afternoon or evening. And he pointed at three people and by name called us to help him pull out the bleachers. I was just petrified that he knew my name. that was not a good sign.
Yeah, I'm with you. Usually that's not a good thing.
Did you help him?
Oh, well, yeah. All three. I mean, all we did was pull out the bleachers, and then he said, "That's it. Go away." But I remember it to this day.
You know what? That's why they still call you a suck up at that school.
That'd be nice if they even remember me.
Oh, man.
Yep. All right. Well, we are halfway through the first half, or the first half hour, or actually we're done with the first half hour, and I have a marvelous announcement to make for everybody. Sometimes your friends just make you do things whether you like them or not, and I did that to Anthony here a couple weeks ago. I said, "Anthony, we've talked about running a marvelous festival out on the coast of North Carolina, and we're getting ready to do it." And Anthony's remark was, "Oh, we are?" I said, "Yes, we are." So I'm here to announce. Anthony, is this ringing a bell now?
Oh, go ahead. Dave better be there and help. Dave better be there and help.
Dave's getting an offer tonight. We're going to hold the first annual Venus Flytrap Festival, trademark, in 2021. Yes, because actually the Venus Flytrap, what is that in relation to North Carolina, Anthony, to show your erudition?
There is a section, a geographic section of southeast North Carolina and northeast South Carolina, and it's the only place in the world where the Venus Flytrap lives naturally.
Correct.
And it is the carnivorous plant of North Carolina.
It is. It is.
Guys, I'm really excited about this because I know it's been on the drawing board. I know you guys have spitballed about it for a while, to say the least. So what is the date? What is the date of this thing, Dr. John?
Well, let me tell you the story. Anthony probably doesn't know the story. I had a few cocktails one afternoon and talking, and I just had you mention the Venus Flytrap School and the Miss Venus Flytrap pageant because I just love the name because it reminds me of the Addams Family. And if it reminds me of the Addams Family, it's a good thing. So I was talking to him about it. I said, "Anthony, we have got to do the Miss Venus Flytrap pageant." He said, "You know, you've been talking about it." I said, "Well," and I saw that I still owned the domain name Miss Venus Flytrap. So I said, "Well, we're going to do it, and you're going to help me." He said, "Well, okay." And then I said, "Give me just a second." So I ran real quick to my domain registrar because I had lost the VenusFlytrapFestival.com name. And I tried to register it. I said, "Well, here's a Hail Mary." And Mary's going to say, "Oh, you're stupid, John." But Mary didn't. And Mary was kind to me, and all of a sudden somebody else, some other schmuck had lost it, and I got it back. So we officially have the VenusFlytrapFestival.com and MissVenusFlytrap.com domain name. So we're going to do it. And what I was going to do, we're going to ask several people to be involved. Now, Todd, you're always welcome to be involved, but you may be up in the eye in the sky in Indianapolis. But if you're around, of course, we want you there. But, you know, Anthony, I was thinking about this too, that I've got a 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and some cigars from Godfathers, and we might have to bind a certain science fiction author curmudgeon to see if he would help us and be one of the people on the stage to help announce the festivities.
Absolutely.
Now, Dave, does that ring a bell?
So you're not going to get Tim Reed to do it.
Exactly.
Now, it just
we're
going to
ask
happened.
You and another couple people.
It just so happens. I know Tim Reed, just not that Tim Reed.
Not Tim Reed.
Okay.
I thought I would clarify.
And so, and now somebody asked me today about entrance to the Miss Venus Flytrap pageant. And
I wonder who
question,
that
was. Well, the first question is, what about gender? And I responded, not applicable. Someone said, well, what about race? I said, alive. But the most important thing is...
Well, I do have a question on that. Are we going to restrict it to human? What if we got a botanist with a sense of humor and then there's a female flytrap?
Or how about Fido?
I didn't really say,
but you know, so we what kind of free form here. And we just thought it would be a lot of fun. But the one thing you have to do is you have to write an essay and answer a question in the English language about why you love Venus Flytraps and why you want to represent festival as Miss Venus Flytrap all over the state of South Carolina. And especially in Cherry Grove. So what can I say? All right. So anyway, and I guess I'm going to have to go ahead and buy that six-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon because somebody needs
Boy,
to know I'm serious.
From a 12 to a six-pack, he's lowballing you, Dave.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, it's going to take more than six to get me buttered up there, big man.
Actually,
how about a 12?
I haven't heard Dave. I've got money for a 24-pack.
I hear a request for a collection coming.
I'll buy a 24-pack myself, damn it.
Oh, my God.
The crowdfunding page where I'm just shooting for beer.
Yeah, and we'll give you some presents from Godfather Cigars. But, yeah, it's going to be something that's fun. It's something that our country hasn't participated in 6 months. Nothing's been fun. This is going to be fun. Is that okay?
Do we have a date for that, sir?
No, we got to check out our options, but give us about 2 weeks and we'll have a date.
And I even have
it should be a lot. Oh, is that our boy from Raleigh?
Yep. Teron.
Oh, he was funny. He was on here one night.
Yep.
He was funny. And, of course, I'll have the 24-pack of Pabst, hopefully, if I open
it. Now he's talking your language, Dave.
The Pabst will – the smell
wait,
of the Pabst
wait a minute.
Will I, wait.
Dr. John, how much are you counting on me kicking in on this collection?
What, on the Pabst?
Yeah, it just went from a 6-pack plus 4 to now 24. Wait a minute.
No, I'll do that.
I just need
some other people to chip in on the cigars.
I can cover that.
Them.
Okay, I didn't realize that was that popular.
Well, you're not, but we just want you there anyway. Oh, did I?
Outstanding. That's what I was looking for.
That's right. You're not. We want you there anyway. It'll be fun. And then, of course, I may have to ask another couple interesting individuals. You'll see. But I think it'll be a blast. It'll be a lot of fun. And Anthony said, well, you say it's going to be a hippie fest? I said, yeah. I said, go check out hippiefest.com. They're doing them all over and people love it. So we're gonna be more fun. We're actually going to bring the United States back to the notion that some things can be fun.
Yeah. Oh, wait
okay,
a minute.
I'll shut
do
up.
Do we have to wear masks?
Yeah. Oh, it's so far away.
Where's a mask?
We don't have to worry about that. What's the mask?
boy, that's the non-answer if I ever heard it.
Boy, I got to go with this. You have no idea how many people said they wish I had worn a mask.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
And then I go to Office Depot where I always go to, and the manager. Now, John, you know we got the 6-foot thing, but for you it's 12 feet. I said, okay. That's a true story. It happened. All right. So I've now spent 10 minutes talking about the grand and one and only Venus Flytrap Festival, trademark in 2021, and the Miss Venus Flytrap trademark pageant. So enough of that. Somebody rescue me from my bad jokes.
All right.
Dave,
I got to ask. I was going to throw this out here. Somebody said Hippie Fest, and Dave will be on in a minute. But Hippie Fest, are we talking about tits that are a little thick in the bottom or what?
No, what we used to do with those tie-dyed shirts in 68.
Oh, that kind of, okay. Good to go.
This is not Fat Bottom Girls by Freddie Mercury and Queen. Now, come on.
All right, sorry, Dave, you're off.
Oh, I have nothing. I am I just appreciate the invite. We'll look forward to the Venus Flytrap Festival. Yeah. And that's where all this has finally come to.
That's right. And Dave, I'm going to be nasty here. And I'm going to say I'm going to get you the date at least 6 months in advance. And I don't want a phone call on the Monday before the festival. John, we got a job and I got to go. I don't want any of that. I'm going to get you the date at least. And
you
know, I'll tell Dave.
And I'm sure Mr. Dowling has probably run into this from time or two, you know, with doing the filming and everything. You ever just have, like, one of those moments where you stop and you go, so all that hard work and all that creativity has got me in this spot right here?
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, what in the hell did I do? You know, it's
How did I get to this point in my life?
I was living such a nice, quiet life, bagging groceries, and then all of a sudden I decided to write a book.
And now you're going to be co-hosting the Miss Venus Flytrap pageant.
Venus Flytrap pageant. Pageant. I call it a festival. I'm sorry. There is a huge difference.
No, there's
between
a festival.
Between a pageant.
Then you're going to be up there on stage with, you know, the dignitaries.
Yeah.
The dignitaries that are going to help with that. That's going to be great.
You are playing fast and loose with the English language tonight, brother.
Yes. So is there any chance that Pia Zadora or LaToya Jackson will be doing the, you know, music or quite possibly the national anthem, if that's not illegal by then?
No, but I guarantee you one thing, is there might be a wardrobe malfunction.
I know, but I think that's where he was going with that.
Yeah, well, with Pia Zadora, of course, we probably want to jump in the DeLorean for that one. I don't know if I want to be having any type of wardrobe malfunction with that now. It may be a little, yeah. No thanks.
Oh, my God. Anthony,
that product might be expired.
Oh,
all
this
right.
is a.
You already
a
asked
side
me
of,
to be fired once, and I said I can't.
This is a side that I haven't seen, really.
I was going to say, there's a difference between. I think what Dave is getting at, gentlemen, is that there's a difference between knee shooters when they're 20 and when they're 70.
Yeah. Yeah, most certainly. It's when you want to flash somebody and you pull up your skirt, there's something amiss. So, yeah. We
that's
all
not
head
amiss.
South when we get older. Yes, but no, that would be a wonderful honor to conduct with you the Venus flytraps. But now, since we're bouncing ideas around, John, are you going to be dressing up like a Venus flytrap?
Ooh.
Ooh.
No. I'm still waiting for him to deliberately do Foster Brooks.
Well, I'm picturing John in this green felt outfit, and we get two oven mitts. We get two green oven mitts and put little pink inlays between the thumb and the forefinger, and he just walks around, greets people, thanks them for attending, and reaches out and grabs imaginary flies with his oven mitts. By Christ,
oh, yeah,
you will
like,
be
like the three people walking down the street waving at thoughts. That would be freaking great.
Oh, God knows. Well,
okay.
Let me go ahead and just start it. Dr. John, I double dog dare you.
And it just oh, well.
I can tell you right now, this is like a little bit of it was green room, too. But this is probably the funniest 45 minutes I've had in weeks. Thank you, gents. I've already had just.
So that's why we got
laugh.
Anthony.
Gentlemen.
That's why we got Anthony.
Gentlemen, God
Sir.
Bless
yes.
Google. God bless Google. For $52.06, we can put John into a unisex adult Venus flytrap costume. Hallelujah. Look it up.
Start the collection. Ladies and gentlemen, please call if you want to see Dr. John in the Venus flytrap.
And it's going to have to be size XS for extra snug.
Have you started the GoFundMe?
I am getting to that. Oh, and this is interesting. One of the prizes that the winner gets, if it's a girl, I guess a guy could, but generally I bet it's for a girl, is a Venus flytrap A-line dress. And it has all these Venus flytraps on it. That could be construed all sorts of ways.
Oh, wait a minute. What about Mr. and Mrs. Venus flytrap?
There you go. Yeah.
Well, no, here's the thing. The reason I didn't put Mr. is because this is kind of like we're not specifying a gender, which is, you know, male, female, or in between. We're not specifying a gender. So anybody can enter this.
Oh, John,
dude, they can still enter in whatever category they want.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My God.
This suit, Dr. John, is all you. It really is. You would sweat.
This what?
You would lose a zillion pounds through sweat on this. We should do it on one of the hottest days around. It would be awesome.
Oh,
it's going to be fun. Everybody is required to laugh and have fun, and that's the point. We take things so seriously that we can't do anything now. Everybody gets upset at everything. Have some fun.
Yeah.
I'll dress up as a damn Venus flytrap if that'll make people laugh. I've got vodka with me.
I could buy it for you, and you would never do it in a million years. I do want to say something, though. Change the subject a little bit. because I realized I had an inkling in the back of my head that Indianapolis was near Louisville. And it
Kentucky,
is.
Kentucky, not overly far.
South.
Yeah, like almost directly south.
Yeah.
There's a production group, production house in Louisville that I'm going to have to go to at some point in the future. And you're just a hop, skip, and jump up there. Maybe, what, hour and a half?
Couple hours, something like that. Something like that, okay. Anthony. And I do want to warn you, sir, and I do mean this from the bottom of my heart, before you go there, learn how to say it like the locals say it.
Oh, I know. I've been lectured already. How do they say it?
Okay, just for your own self-preservation.
Right.
Because I do want you back on the show by all means. But, yeah, that's not far away. You're going somewhere.
Well, how do they
say
it? How do they say it?
Louisville?
Louisville. Louisville. Okay.
What is this?
All right. So you've got a production team up there.
Yep. And that's going to take hands-on at some point. And looks like I'm going. Yeah, but I have friends in Owensboro.
Oh, I thought you had friends in low places.
Owensboro is about as low as you can get.
Dr. John, that would be us.
That was what?
According to
that would be us.
That was the 2.5 vodkas right there. That was good.
Yeah, no, okay. This is. But wait a minute. So we finally get to something serious, and now we're all joking. Yep. And then, please, sir. Tell us about the crew up there. What do they got going on?
Well, they're team. Oh, the name of the team is escaping me at the moment, but I'll remember it here in a minute. But they focus on horror. Doesn't everybody? But they have some really good folks around them, and believe it or not, for whatever reason, in that city is a fairly large group of folks that are into filmmaking. And of that group of folks, a decent amount of them are into horror filmmaking. So I thought, well, this will be good. This is – they're planting themselves in fertile soil. So we're going to go up and give them every opportunity to succeed we can. They have a darn good script on their hands, and they're very, very motivated. So I think it'll work out, actually. It's not going to work out as quickly as they imagine it to. This is going to take years. But if they stick with it, I think they'll actually go somewhere. I know the president of our organization is really excited about it because he met with them. He's from that city. Notice how I'm avoiding saying it. And he knows one of them, one of the four. And they came and did a presentation to the board of directors. We got together just to hear their presentation. And that's pretty – giving a presentation to people you don't know but know that they're in the industry and you don't know how rough they're going to be and you're kind of new is very daunting. But they traveled all the way from Kentucky to over here to Morehead City and gave a presentation, and we treated them well. We were honest, but we treated them well. I do want to talk. Can I say something about writers?
Anything but me, yes.
Well, look, I'm going to say yes. Because one of my favorite writers happens to be from Big Love Lucy, Chrissy Lussie.
What do they write?
Chrissy? I thought Chrissy was moving to Myrtle Beach.
Oh,
yeah,
you know
she
what?
Did.
They did move. They did move. I lied. She's still from there.
What does she write?
They did move. Fiction fantasy, really?
Okay. The
with
beginning of the
basis.
Year, cool. I love that. I love all that. beginning of the year, our president created a little writers group to create short movie scripts. And he got some really good people involved, some new people. Took a while to get everything settled in. But then they started putting out some really decent short scripts. But here's the issue with anybody who's, I think, on that end of the industry, the writers, is they put a lot of energy and effort into writing it and getting it right. And then they want to see it done. Okay, now go make it. Not that easy. And that's where I think our president messed up a little bit, because he got them all excited. He got all this creative talent flowing, these juices flowing. And I was like, Justin, they're going to produce so much stuff that we would have it on our books for years. You need to slow this down. Yeah, we can get to that 8 years from now. Come on. And if you pull it out too long, everybody gets bored and leaves from the writers group. Has anyone experienced that as a writer?
Yeah, I can tell you. It's funny. I'm sitting here grinning ear to ear when you're saying this, because when I first got into the con scene, I had done a particular con that was set up by my then publisher. It turned out to be a total fiasco, and I won't dare divulge the name of the con, because my publisher at the time bears a large amount of responsibility, and the con itself was not quite what's the word I'm looking for? Organized, if you will. But nevertheless, I met a ton of fantastic creative people at that con, and had a blast. I mean, talk about, you know, pulling the good out of something. I actually, you know, made some good lasting friendships and everything. But I went on a string from that con to maybe, I want to say, two or three cons after that, where everyone I went to, I had a person or persons come up to me and say, I've got an idea. This is what I want to do, but I can't write it. You know, I want to do X, I want to do Y, I want to do Z. So me, being the rookie guy that I was, I went home and poured copious amount of time away from my book series to write these scripts and short stories and all that kind of jazz for these individuals who had said, hey, you know, I just need a writer. Are you my man? So, you know, me being the guy that I am, and with having my background, you know, being in grocery and retail, I know there's a stigma attached to doing that. But if it didn't teach me nothing else, it taught me that when the job's got to get done, you go get it done. And, you know, when somebody says we got to dig a hole 6 foot deep, you go dig it 6 foot deep.
Yep.
And you do it as quick as you possibly can. So, of course, you take that same type of urgency and that same type of, you know, I got to get this done, right, into the writing thing. So I sat down and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And then I started contacting these people. And some of them said, yeah, man, well, you know, didn't work out, you know. I'm working at Home Depot again. Then I had some that didn't even remember who the hell I was.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and for me, being a guy, you know, and let me go on and say this. Whenever you go somewhere, I don't care if it's a waitress or somebody selling you a house, if they take it seriously enough to do the job correctly, don't ever piss on their leg. Right. You know what I mean? Because it's so destructive. And, you know, if a waitress does everything she can to make your dining experience wonderful, and then you drop her $2 on the tabletop, you know, you've just tainted the service level for the rest of the day out of that young lady or young gentleman, because you taught them a lesson that no matter how hard they try, it ain't going to matter.
It's
so, right. And all that being said, so I wrote all this stuff, and nothing ever came to it. So since then, I have almost like this invisible wall that goes up between me and people that I've never met when they come up and going, hey, you know, God, this is fascinating. This is wonderful. You know, man, you're the kind of guy I want you to write this stuff. I don't go home and start writing.
Right.
I wait for several other contacts to come through where it's, if somebody put it to you this way, I wait for somebody to get hold of me and go, hey, how's it coming along? And if
right.
I do that, then I'll lie and say, hey, it's coming great, man. I'm really knocking it out. And then I'll hustle up and get it written. But it's a hard lesson learned a lot of times. And for every writer out there, and I'll be honest with you, gentlemen, since getting burned in that publishing deal, I have books that I've written and I have yet to publish. Why? Because there's this little Jiminy Cricket in the back of my head that's saying, do you really want to go through this again? And though it may
well,
never
I'll
happen again.
Jiminy Cricket in the face and say, you better go through it again because you're a damn good writer.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, I like Dave, that there were a couple lessons in all that stuff.
Yep.
One is you clearly weren't pleased with the situation there, but you did not stay butthurt. You got wisdom out of it.
Right. Absolutely.
You had lessons learned. And the other thing is, oh, you're such a dumbass. I'll lie to him and tell him I've been working on it. I'm there. And put out on it, people. Good job, Dave. Not that I'm
well, at least you know.
Out in case anybody missed it, but still. God.
Didn't Al Pacino, and he
I
said,
you, brother.
Me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Is that that famous line from Scarface?
Yes, it is. But it is. I mean, and it's done with the best intentions a lot of times, I'm sure, because people that are creative, God bless them. The amount of energy that goes into creative people is incredible. I mean, unless you're in a creative person, you don't quite understand. But whether you're painting or acting or singing or writing or whatever, there's a certain amount of just energy that's generated while you're doing it. And so when you have somebody who's interested in doing stuff, sometimes the excitement will get ahead of the vocal cords and they'll be out there, you know, stirring it up, getting people excited, because that's what you do. Where the thing hits a clog in the drain is when it doesn't get followed through, because you break a creative heart, sometimes you can't put it back together. That creative spirit, real
Bingo.
Life comes into play. Yeah, real life comes into play, and going back to that Jiminy Cricket, he's the guy standing on your shoulder going, okay, you almost turned into a jackass last time.
Right.
So, you know, and
that on our side, on the people who, on our side, where we're trying, you know, it's our job to make those dreams happen, right? You have
right.
to manage expectations. There have never been two more important words
in a business environment than that, those two words, manage expectations. Because if they go into it thinking all this stuff is going to be made this year and then they'll be able to produce 12 other shorts next year, no, oh, hell no. It's all we could do to get two or three out, certainly not 12. And so it's – but sometimes folks don't necessarily in management don't necessarily know what's – you know, what the deal is. And so it takes the experience of it. And then you hope it's not that as bad as it could have been or was in the past, and that you can manage the expectations midway through once it becomes obvious, oh, maybe we can't produce all these. You think? I am absolutely with you there.
Sorry for interrupting, Anthony, but that can't be easy in today's instant gratitude society.
Bingo. No, it's not.
Yeah,
nobody wants to hear that they're short, a 10-page short. Yeah, we'll get to that in 2022.
Yeah.
What? Say that again?
I was going to go with the guy on the other side is saying, well, hell, it's only a 10-page short. How the hell hard can it be?
Right.
You know what? They all have a very Ptolemy perspective on the universe, that it all rotates around them.
Well, it happened to me a couple cons ago where a particular Hollywood actor, which will remain nameless because I don't want to villainize the guy.
No, I don't think they need to remain nameless, if you don't mind. I'd love to hear who it is.
Well, he's not a villain by any stretch of the imagination. But anyhow, he had come up to me, saw the covers of my books, and says, wow. He says,
oh, okay.
This is a Western. This is a Western, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, well, it's a horror, you know, kind of a period-based historical twist type thing. And I gave him the explanation. He goes, man, he says, that would be awesome to do. He says, you want to know how bad I want to do another Western? And I says, well, you want to know how bad I want somebody to do this as a Western? You know, and we got a good laugh out of it. And he says, man, he says, how much for this book? And he started reaching his pockets. I says, no, and here's all my information. It's a pleasure, and it's an honor for me to give you this book. And you know what? If I didn't do anything right today, I had a guy who acted in one of my favorite Westerns see my book and want it. So you know what? If nothing else, I have the temporary chubby, you know. But yeah, read it. If it's in your wheelhouse, call me, because there's a lot more gas in the tank. Shook hands the whole damn 9 yards. So I turn back around, start going my regular
way.
Dale says,
I know who.
Oh, yeah. And Dale says to me, she says, wow, did that just actually happen? And I just kind of went, yeah. And she says, well, geez, you don't seem too excited. I says, I'll never hear from him again. And call me Nostra Dumbass, but to this moment, I've never heard from him again. So,
and
again,
lo and behold.
But, you know, to a certain extent, though, that, and going on what Todd was just saying, it's a learning curve. And I'm sure that the guys who write stuff and have that happen to them, they learn, like I did, not to get too much wood, concentrate on the bread and butter, worry about the extra credit question when you finish the exam, okay? But on the same side, I'm sure the guy on the other end who got overly excited and perhaps inflated some people's dreams and hopes and see him kind of crash and burn, stops and says, perhaps I talked a little too soon. I got to not do that again. So, you know, again, if somebody learns something out of it, then it's not a mistake. It's when you turn around and do the same damn thing over again and get butthurt about it, you got nobody to blame but yourself.
So,
Dave, did you ever follow up with the guy?
No, there was no way of getting a hold of him. I tried, but, and then of course there was some, a little bit of a fallout with another author that apparently, might have been badgering this guy on his Twitter account, and I didn't want to be part of it. So I just said, hey, you know, we move on and, you know, and that's what we do. And
let me be the devil's advocate on this from the producer's side. Ridley Scott had read a script and he loved it, fell in love with it, fell in love with the concept, the whole envisioned it in his head. And he said, I want to do this. I really want to do this. Now, this is Ridley freaking Scott saying that, right?
Yeah.
And 20 years later, they were able to do it. Because one thing leads to another, can lead to another. And it was Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh, wow. And that was a great pick. Yeah.
It was
with Orlando Bloom.
Especially the extended, you know, the director's cut, which is almost 3 hours long. Oh, my goodness. It's intricate, beautiful. And the cinematography is beautiful. But so let's say he could have that book, and it's in his head, but there are a zillion hoops he needs to go through before he can get to the point where he, you know, calls you and go, guess what? We're actually going to be able to do that as a movie.
Right.
I got it all arranged. And even then, he could be called away to do something. You know, well, do this movie for this amount or go make, you know, a million extra dollars for a week. Oh, man, maybe I'll just go make a million and put this off again. So you never know. You put out the seeds, and you never know which ones are going to catch. And that's how I look at
it. Right. And that's why you got to keep your head into it. You know, you can't, and that's something I've been having to, that's my Rocky moment right there. You know, when, you know, in the Rocky flick, he gets all down when Adrian is in the hospital, and then she wakes up and the first thing she says is when, next thing you know, he's out there training his ass off, you know, and we all have those moments. And, you know, it's just, again, I don't think I would want to trade those experiences, though it hurt. I'll be the first to admit it. It was a gut shot the first two or three times it happened because I, you know, like I said, you actually sit down and write the stuff. It's like mowing somebody's yard and they don't pay you, you know?
Right.
And, but it ain't no good sailor. Sails on calm seas, you know what I mean? They talk about knights in shining armor. That guy's never been in a fight, obviously.
Right. Shit needs to be dented up a bit. Where's your dent,
right,
buddy?
I would not trade the experience for the world. But, you know, again, it's one of those things where I think that the people involved need to be a little more forthcoming and a little more honest. And, you know, like, take, for instance, a writer. If a writer looks up at somebody and say, hey, okay, I'm going to sit down in front of a computer and I'm going to write this. Do you have X, Y, and Z in line to do it?
Bingo.
You know what I mean? Put the guy on the spot. Just the same, the producers have to look at the writers and go, hey, before you get a chubby hard enough to cut glass with writing this thing, understand it might be 4 or 5 years. We've got to procure X, Y, and Z. Might not happen. I mean, for everything that was going in the business 3 months ago is out the damn window now thanks to this virus.
Yep. Yep.
Or the lack thereof. And, you know,
no
did I just
stick.
Put that in there?
You did.
He did.
My bad.
He did.
you sound like my wife. Did I just slip that in there?
Are you in yet? Are you done?
The bad part is when I say, can you feel the love? She says, no.
And
the
we
good
need
news
to take
is
the feeling.
I made it to the 70-minute mark without mentioning it, so that was a personal best for me. I stand tall at my accomplishment and move on.
What did you not mention? Because you haven't said it for 70 minutes, so tell us.
our virus.
Wait a minute. Before, please, let me go with another one of my tangents. The we hit 70 minutes. We had a touch green room in there, so it's a touch over. The gentlemen, we had the first 45 minutes or so were some of the just best humor, stress relief moment I've had of the week. And we found some ways to get into serious conversation, talking real stuff, couch some humor in there so that we do things. And we talked about real feelings, real experiences, things like that. Again, none of this is scripted. I can't tell you how much this show is just like tonight has just been awesome for me. Thank you. To be able to be here and be a part of it is just wowzer. It's just, I can't tell you. It's been great.
Todd, are you saying that this is better than Ellen?
Look, what I'm telling you right now, because I don't know, I don't have cable, I don't have time to watch that stuff, I've worked in ridiculous hours, things like that, but to be able to be with y'all and have such real honest conversation, and somehow or other, I still ain't figured it out, and I'm not going to ask why, because if I figure out the answer, then I'll never be invited back, but somehow I still get invited back. This is like one of the greatest gigs on the planet. I'm just telling you.
Well, it's because you're talking. It's because you're talking to the executive director, and I'm a fan of yours. Damn it! Come on, I think you're great, Todd.
to borrow a phrase, Todd, from a fairly famous radio show host.
Right. You were talking about me.
Super dittos to what you just said. This is every time I come on this show, I have a grand time. And you do get to mix it with comedy, but then get into some really good serious stuff. Can I switch the topic again?
Yes, sir. Please.
Who's going to stop you? Come on. Let's go.
Because throughout the conversation, we've had politics, you know, involved, and we've talked about money. One of the things, and I have to go back to this miniseries Turn that I watched, I don't know if you guys, they did a spectacular job of portraying this. So everybody's heard of Benedict Arnold, right?
Yes, right. Sir.
Okay. And you have the thought in your head of who he is and what he did. Right?
Yep.
Yep. Anthony, are you going to get deeper behind his motivation?
Oh, there you go. He was the officers and the army. Okay. So let's do this. I propose we don't pay the military for 3 years and see how many of them we have left. Would anybody like to do that with us?
No.
I'll tell you right now, no. The
really? But we want them to stay. And on top of that, we want them to fight a war with the biggest superpower on the planet with no pay for 3 years.
Who's that?
The army didn't get paid.
China?
The officers didn't get paid of Revolutionary America. Right. Colonial Americans. Do you know how much? I looked it up. They owed Benedict Arnold in today's dollars $250,000. And
yes,
then
I believe it.
They went bankrupt because the British devalued the Continental and they couldn't pay anybody anything until they got a loan from France, and the loan didn't cover paying the military. Even after the war, they hadn't paid General Washington.
I get that.
So,
Anthony, real quick, I don't know if you know this.
It paints Benedict Arnold in a completely different light for me.
Yeah, he was not he did not do that just to do with that.
He was not a nudist.
Realize that. But I want to throw this out there, Anthony. You know, I'm a retired Marine.
Okay. I did not.
And I'll tell you right now, when I was single, they could have stretched 3 years lack of pay thing out, and I could have survived. But the moment I became married and became a dad, not just no, but hell's no. I will just say that there's a reason that today I work so far away from my family. And to ask somebody to do that, it's intense. I love that you brought that up. It's real.
And they didn't just work, right? Their job was to get to line up and get in front of people that were shooting them with the equivalent of an M50.
Well, it's actually an issue that the 50 caliber, and yes, so the rounds that they were using were 48 to roughly 48 caliber as a rule. And mind you, there wasn't a whole lot. They didn't have jack rifled then in that, but the size and the velocity of those balls of lead that were fired in volleys.
Yeah.
I like that you bring this up. The people.
Think about the.
Big,
you think? You think?
Big brass ones.
It just stuns me to this very minute. It stuns me. And what brought that home even more is, did anybody see the movie Midway that just came out?
I did not.
No,
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
You guys are killing me. So they did a spectacular job of portraying. So these Navy dive planes are coming up pretty high and getting pretty much almost exactly over the carrier and driving straight down, right? To a hail of anti-aircraft bullets, which are huge. They did a spectacular job of that. And of that, that's the first time that brought home to me how, who does that? How do you train somebody to do that? Oh, don't worry about it. They're not going to hit you. You're a moving target.
Well, to be a kamikaze pilot, it's hard, isn't it?
Oh, well, no, they weren't. They would get to about 1,000 feet and drop the bomb and then level off and then go back up. So
that's
they
still
had
being
to
a kamikaze
down.
Pilot with what they had.
More or less.
Just for the record, in those old Curtiss dive bombers, they just level off wasn't really a thing.
Really?
To be able to, it's not like they could just pull flaps and it was real easy, because they had to change the angle. They were pushing. Here's the thing that people don't. They were pushing the maximum velocity of that aircraft in that dive bombing run. And just for the record, in case you all don't remember it, some simple physics, an object in motion remains in motion.
Uh-huh.
Until.
And that altitude
in the direction
that they were at when they dropped that bomb, as they changed the simple flaps, they couldn't get the whole thing out there to slow the things down, the ailerons, if you will. Before, they couldn't dare open flaps. They tried to have them open early on in the dive as an, oh, by the way, to slow it down. But once they hit a certain velocity, they had to close it because they would rip off.
Wow.
That stuff is still insane today. And those folks, people do not realize this. The dive bombing folks, our torpedo bombers got crushed in the whole Battle of Midway. They just got devastated. Our dive bombers were the winners. And the training they went through to push that to the edge, day in, day out, to get good at it, is absolutely insane. Again, the size of the brass ones. It's amazing the weight of the brass did not overload the plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. when you can produce a movie like Midway or a series like Turn, and you can engender this type of emotional feeling in people, you've done it. That's what you hope for your entire freaking career, is to be able to do that. And that's the hallmark. That's the key. That's the Academy Award. You don't need an Academy Award. Who's the guy who played Braveheart? What's his name?
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. He directed this movie called The Last Jesus the Christ, I think, or something like that.
Yeah,
Passion of the Christ. When I was in that movie, and they at one point whip Jesus with a Roman whip with little barbs on it, so it catches in your back, and then when they pull it, it pulls pieces of your skin back off. And they didn't save the audience from that. They showed it. There were people weeping, openly weeping, all around me, in front of me, to the sides and to the back. They were weeping. There is no Academy Award that trumps that. Nothing. You have reached into somebody's core and pulled out an emotion. That's power. That's very powerful stuff right there.
Yes, sir.
I have a habit every Memorial Day that I sit down and watch the opening sequence, if not the entire film of Saving Private Ryan. I sit down and I just watch that opening sequence, at least to the point where they get over top of the pillboxes and all that kind of jazz. And I stop, and if I turn it off or if I keep watching it, I always have that moment of reflection going, damn, these guys were high school graduates. These guys were 17, 18 years old. How could I have done that at 17 or 18 years old, And I'm kind of scared with all the stuff going on right now in the politically correct world that we're going to rob ourselves of some realism by trying to be politically correct in our film. And just when I thought we were getting somewhere, perhaps we're going to take several steps back just to please the
feelings. We're not sure who we're pleasing, Dave, but to please somebody, whatever that means.
Hey, gentlemen, we are at 1025 and change. I hate to say it because, as always, we are on a roll, but we are also on the time crunch.
Now, Todd, I was getting ready to say that. We got about 4 minutes left, and all I got to say is this has been a most wonderful conversation that we've had. I've had a number of nasty things I wanted to say, but I tried not to because I didn't want to get us all in trouble. But I tell you what, we've all got – now, Dave, listen to me. We got 45 seconds apiece to say goodbye, and I'm over it by a second. And then, Anthony, can we have you back real soon?
Absolutely. And it's an honor and a privilege, gentlemen.
Well, we like having you here, period. All right, Dave, you got 45 seconds. Go. What's your goodbye?
45 seconds. Well, I joined my dad at the beginning of the week. He sent a list of named of relatives, of aunts and uncles and grandparents that he had. And thanks to a little detective work, I was actually able to trace the Atwell and the Walker families, which is my grandmother's maiden name, all the way back to the pre-Revolutionary War. And I was actually able to find their graves, where they're located. And as I visited the Sergeant Major this afternoon, we had actually spoke about driving to D.C. when all this stuff goes away and perhaps visiting those cemeteries. So I'll be able to stand in front of the headstones of my great-great-great-great-grandfather who established this wonderful country back before it was a wonderful country. So for all the wrong things going on right now and for all the people in the world that say this place sucks, it ain't me. I love it. So God all bless right. America. Take it or leave
Thank
it.
You. I'm gonna take my 45 seconds in 10 seconds. Dave, I'm a direct line descendant of Colonel Thomas Walker, Delaware war hero. Are you part of that family? Because
yeah.
If so, we're cousins.
Certain.
That'd
be scary. That'd be scary.
No, I wouldn't doubt it because we're friends. All bullshit aside, we're good friends, and I wouldn't doubt that we're cousins. So anyway, I'll see you shortly right after the show. Thank you. Thank you so much. Todd, next.
Hey, Dave, on a family thing, I would like you to call me after the show, please. The Anthony, on the a show movie impacting the family, I had read Killer Angels, which was how they created the movie Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Dude, if I could tell you the story of my wife's emotion watching that movie, it would only reinforce what you already said earlier about how that emotional impact is worth more than any Hollywood award. Done.
Absolutely. All right, great. Anthony, you get the last 50 seconds, and then we're checking out of here and we're calling each. Anthony, what have you got to say in 50 seconds?
I can't say my name in 50 seconds.
Anthony Dowling. I just said it. Okay.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. Every time I get invited, I keep worrying on what am I going to talk about. And it just naturally happens. It just naturally occurs because it's a group of folks that want to be entertaining, that are in the entertainment, and are sharp. Know a thing or two. They don't go to as many movies as I wish they would, but they do know a thing or two. And so when you get people invested in life like that, you're going to have some good conversations, and it happens every time. I'm thrilled. Thank you very, very much, gentlemen, for inviting me. I certainly hope that each of you prosper well in your industry.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. We will see you back on July the 1st for our 4th of July celebration here at Pop Culture Stars. Love you guys. Next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Big hug, everyone.
Everybody. Have a good night, Mr. Dowling. Good to have you.